This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Lou Penrose sitting in for Jesse Kelly. Good to be with you. Coming to you live from San Diego. That's my home talk radio station. I broadcast weeknights on Kogo out of San Diego. And happy to sit in for Jesse tonight as we head into the big Labor Day holiday weekend, the official last hurrah of summer. My boys are already back to school. I have three, two, one in elementary school, one in middle school, one in high school. So I got it all covered. And today was the last day of the first full week. So they had a half week, and they're exhausted. So they're looking forward to the three-day weekend. And I hope you are too. 877-377-4373. I was thinking a little bit about Labor Day. I don't even know. Is there going to be a presidential proclamation? Usually the president will say something. The president hasn't been in the White House for quite some time, so nobody knows who's running the country. But I did see that they adjusted the unemployment numbers. The Labor Department comes out with numbers, and then they adjust them. And you may have heard the story. They were off by 800,000 jobs. And I was looking at the categories, and the areas that are showing growth, even though unemployment is higher than they said it was like the two biggest categories were service workers and government employees. And those are, that's number one and number two, by far. Like the third is way down. You're getting into construction. But for the most part, the only area of growth is working for the government, and that could be state, federal, or local government, and working in the service economy. And that's a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with service work. I've done it. I've done front desk management at hotels. I have been a busser in a restaurant. I worked at Burger King. I've done it. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's honest work. It's hard work. But you can't, as a country, run a complete economy having everybody do each other's laundry. And I think going into the Labor Day weekend, this is a good time to start talking about this. And I want you to think about it over the weekend, because we really need to change the trajectory. We cannot continue to have the largest area of growth government workers. So back in the day, we had a fantastic economy that was robust. The post-World War II American economy was spectacular. It was three legs of a stool. You had professional work. Professional work is doctor, lawyer, businessman, accountant, engineer. You had service work. Those are the people that make your beds in the hotels, do your laundry, and make you a martini. And then you have this third category called manufacturing. These are people that go to work at a factory every day, take raw materials, steel or wood or iron, and turn those raw materials into a product that then retails for sale, and you buy it. And for the most part, through the 50s and 60s and most of the 70s, the amount of people that worked in the manufacturing sector dwarfed the amount of people that worked in the professional sector or the service sector. Like, most people that worked either worked in manufacturing or supported manufacturing work. And everything in your house, and I mean everything in your house, was made in America by an American worker at an American factory, making really good money, by the way. And that supported an economy that grew to become a powerhouse on planet Earth. It wasn't just the fact that much of the world was damaged as a result of World War II. It was some of that. Europe was damaged, and the Soviet Union was damaged, and nobody really knows the extent of the damage in Asia and in China. And we all know what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But it wasn't just that. It was because the United States got down to business. After the war was over, nobody wanted war, and we went ahead and built ourselves a wonderful little country by putting everybody to work, manufacturing things for ourselves to sell to each other. Think about it. Everything in your house. All your appliances, your washers and dryers and your refrigerators and stoves and ranges and kitchen counter appliances, all the electronics, all your entertainment in the house, the air conditioning unit, the heating unit, all the plumbing, all the electrical appliances, all the lighting fixtures, all the furniture in your house. And to a large extent, most of your clothing. All made in America, at American factories, by Americans. And they would take raw materials and go to work and turn it into something. They would take steel and turn it into a washing machine. They would take glass and plastics and copper and turn it into a television or a stereo. If you had a sofa or a love seat or a chair in the 70s and 80s in the United States, the lumber came from North Carolina, and the fabric came from upstate New York. If you had a washing machine, it was either General Electric or Westinghouse. It was manufactured in the Midwest, right? If you had electronics, you had RCA or Zenith, Emerson. They were all manufactured in the United States. The raw materials were all mined, and they came from mines and mills in the United States. And we had rail systems that brought all the raw materials from where the raw materials came from to the factory towns. And then those rail systems distributed all the finished goods to all the major cities all over the United States. And then when you went out to go buy a television or an oven or a refrigerator or a car or a sofa, you were paying the salary of an American, and that kept an American employed. Because at the end of the day, you're going to need a new blender. You're going to need a new vacuum cleaner. If you grew up like I grew up in the 70s and 80s, your mother had either a Hoover vacuum cleaner or an Electrolux. If it was Hoover, it was manufactured in Pennsylvania. If it was Electrolux, it was manufactured in Connecticut. Now you go and buy some cheapy plastic made in China piece of crap. It's no good. Right? We closed down all the American factories. We shipped all the jobs overseas. We fired all the American workers. And now we bring in plastic crap from China. So this Labor Day, let it be the Labor Day where we start thinking about how do we change that? Because it wasn't that long ago. It's not like we have to go back to ancient times. It was just about 40 years ago when we decided to ship all the jobs to China. So we could certainly reverse course. We still need washers and dryers and stoves and ovens and kitchen counter appliances. We still need all those things. We should be employing Americans to do them. We have all the raw materials here in the United States. And good news, all the railway lines are still there. And the rail spur goes right up to the loading dock. So we have the infrastructure, it's all sitting there, ready to roll. And most of the factories are still there. You drive through factory towns throughout the Midwest and all across the United States, it's dilapidated, but it's still there. The parking lot's still there and the foundation's still there. So we could get going right away. And it would make all the sense in the world and strengthen our economy for the next generation. 877-377-4373. Lou Penrose sitting in for Jesse Kelly on The Jesse Kelly Show.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with The Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Lou Penrose sitting in for Jesse Kelly. Good to be with you on a Friday. 877-377-4373. Talking a little bit about the Labor Day weekend and work. In America, it is great that people are working. I think that the service economy is fantastic. And of course, it's great to be a doctor or a lawyer. But we need to have manufacturing in order for this economy to work. We need to attract manufacturing. We need to bring manufacturing back. We need to fire up the factories and put Americans to work making our stuff. Because even as technology expands, and even as your cell phone gets more and more advanced, and even as amazing as it is that I can screw in a light bulb and with my phone dim it, that's all fascinating. At the end of the day, you're going to need a vacuum cleaner. You're going to need a refrigerator, right? The technology of your oven hasn't changed all that much. And we used to make refrigerators and ovens and stoves and vacuum cleaners here in the United States. And they were good paying jobs. And they were high quality stuff. That's the part that really kills me. It really bothers me that not only did we fire all the Americans, ship all the jobs to China, bring in all these products duty free, and they're plastic pieces of crap, but we're not even ahead of the game because the price is the same. Like adjusted for inflation, your grandmother paid the same for her General Electric stove that you're paying for your General Electric stove, whatever the make is. I've been living in my house for, let's see, the baby is 11. I know, we still call him the baby, but he's 11. So my wife was due with him when we moved in. I remember that because she couldn't lift anything. So I've been living in my house 11 years. I have been through three refrigerators. Three. Do you ever remember your grandparents getting another refrigerator? Do you ever remember their refrigerator breaking down? Ever? Like, they were beasts. They'd last forever. Now you go in and buy an appliance, and what's the first thing they want to sell you? They come chasing after you for what? That's right, for the extended warranty. Did your grandfather have an extended warranty on his appliances? No, but now they got to sell you the extended warranty because they know it's a piece of crap from China, and it's going to break down in 3 years, and the warranty's not going to cover it. 877-377-4373. So if we brought the jobs back and manufactured all these things in the United States, we would accomplish a whole lot of things. We'd be putting Americans to work at factory jobs that will always be there. Factory jobs are recession-proof, right? Doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. At some point, you will need new brakes. At some point, you will need a new refrigerator. At some point, you'll need a new washer dryer. I mean, you know, those things will go out at some point. You'll need a new one. Or a new couple will get married and they're going to buy a house and they're going to populate the house with all these things. That cycle will always continue. So you'll always need those things. So there'll always be work to be done. It's good paying work. It's an honest day's work. Right, people are like, oh, you see all the movies and they pan factory work as being mindless and, you know, these factory towns as being depressing. Not true. Throughout the Midwest, people worked in factories and had wonderful lives. They went to work at the factory and they had a great job, steady job, good pay. And they came home to a house that they owned. And by the way, one paycheck supported the entire family. One paycheck. Only one person had to go to work. Usually it was the husband, but it doesn't have to be. Nevertheless, one paycheck supported the entire household. And that paycheck paid for the house and the car and put food on the table in all these towns throughout the United States. And There was money left over to take everybody out to dinner on Friday, take the missus out on the town on Saturday, and there was money left over to put in the collection plate at Sunday services.
I don't believe you.
That actually happened here in the United States for decades. A generation of Americans grew up with that level of economic security. And it makes sense. Why? Because we're a nation filled with people that need stuff. So why not make the stuff that we need and sell it to ourselves? And all that money circulates in these small towns and these suburbs and these cities, right? And what does that money do? That money employs the luncheonette, and it goes to support the Little League team, and it supports all the local services and the local taxes. It's a marvelous process, and it was a reality, and it moved America from post-World War II into a superpower. And then we gave it away. We literally handed the jobs over, and now we import plastic crap from China, and it breaks in 2 years. If you don't buy the extended warranty, it all goes into the dump, into the city dump, and then you got to run out and buy it again. And you think you're ahead of the game because it's a little bit cheaper. Right, I remember telling the story to somebody about the coffee maker, about how my mother, for years, I mean, she's passed now, but she had the same Mr. Coffee maker. It had to be like 30 years, and it made coffee every single day. And I probably went through 9 coffee makers from my freshman year in college. Right? It kept breaking. It was a piece of crap from China, and you would throw it in the garbage and you run on out to Walmart to get a new one because it's only $9.99. But you multiply that by the amount that you buy over a short period of time. I think my mom was ahead of the game with the Mr. Coffee. 877-377-4373. Lou Penrose sitting in for Jesse Kelly on the Jesse Kelly Show. I got a lot of calls. I want to get to your stuff. I just wanted to offer you that Labor Day message, because it's something that we don't talk about enough. And this is a simple solution. We can get into why the jobs left in the first place. And to be perfectly honest with you, both Republicans and Democrats are guilty of shipping those jobs to China. So there's a lot of blame to be placed. I am bored with placing blame. Let's just reverse course, bring the jobs back, put Americans to work, fire up the factories, and get in first place once again. And have good quality stuff. Lou Penrose, sitting in for Jesse Kelly on The Jesse Kelly Show.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Lou Penrose sitting in for Jesse Kelly. Good to be with you. Happy Friday. 877-377-4373 as we head into the big Labor Day weekend talking about jobs, American jobs. Let us go to Terry is in New York. Terry, you're on the Jesse Kelly Show.
Wonderful show. You got a very good, melodious voice.
It Thank you.
Carries well over the airwaves.
Good to hear.
And I was in welding. I worked in the welding shop, and, you know, it's no big deal. I started out as a spot welder and went, you know, did a lot of grinding and eventually moved into the welding stuff. And it's a wonderful, wonderful life. It's a hard life. Those guys, you got to wonder where they, you think about Americans and hard workers and all that. You just got to wonder.
Yeah, Terry, I appreciate the call. 877-377-4373. you can do whatever you want in America, and that's wonderful. I think this should be the land of opportunity. I think we should have nothing but options. We deserve it. Americans work hard. I think that we are doing ourselves a disservice by shipping manufacturing jobs overseas. It doesn't mean you have to work at a factory, but you will always need the stuff that's in your house. Look around your house. Everything in your house, and I mean every single thing in your house, used to be made in America. And I do this, if you follow me on TikTok, I think it's Lou Penrose Radio. I'm pretty easy to find, Lou Penrose. I go through every item in your house and tell you the story. Right? I told you the story about the Mr. Coffee coffee maker. I told you about General Electric and the Westinghouse Corporation. Did I tell you the Mr. Coffee coffee maker? I must have. But the furniture was manufactured in North Carolina. The wood comes from North Carolina. The fabric to cover your chairs and your sofas all came from upstate New York. All the kitchen appliances, all your blender. If you grew up in America post-World War II, the blender and all the bakery things and all the toaster ovens and toasters that you had were Hamilton Beach out of Wisconsin. Hamilton was the engineer and Beach was the salesman. Or maybe it was the other way around. But they were high quality appliances and they were in everybody's house. And everybody had a blender and a toaster. And we manufactured them in the United States and they were high quality and they lasted forever. Right? People gave them as gifts for Christmas. Then you get into the garage. Go look at your father's toolbox. They were all Craftsman tools. They were all manufactured in Cincinnati. They were high quality. I have a screwdriver set that my grandfather gave to me when it may have been my fifth birthday. I still have it. It was made in America. It's high quality. And all the tools that you had in the garage in your toolbox, they were all high quality tools that were made in America. Now they're junk and they're all made in China. We used to make tools. We used to make the thermostat on your wall, right? I love the thermostat story. So in World War II, a company called Honeywell manufactured, they were in the radar business, frankly, and they were helping guide our ships at sea. And then the war ended, and the folks at Honeywell said, what are we going to do? I mean, we make stuff for war. How do we make stuff for peace? And they sat down and figured how to retool their factory. And you know what they made? Thermostats. And there is a Honeywell thermostat on every house in America from 1950 to 1978. It's that little circle gold thermostat that you remember. It's a circle, and it's got like a clear little with a rough edge, and your grandmother would set the temperature. Yeah, that's a Honeywell thermostat. That corporation existed in World War II, and then they decided to retool. That was made in America. That's a piece of engineering, by the way, and a piece of art, I would add. But you go through the house and think back when you were a kid, the level of quality that existed. And should something break, guess what? You called the guy, and a guy came with a truck, and he had parts on the truck, and they swapped it out, and it continued to work for another 20 years. So when you go to Costco now, I was just at Costco, and I'm amazed at how inexpensive these flat-screen TVs are. They really have come down in price. So there was because my boys, they put together their Christmas money and they bought an updated flat screen. I guess the flat screens for gaming are better than the flat screen you use to just watch TV. It has to be more detailed. So they wanted to get an updated flat screen TV. And it was like $8.99 for a flat. And it's huge. It's like 60 inches or something. I mean, I don't even know how you watch something that big. Nevertheless, think that now that's made in China. Okay. It's $900. Think about what a flat screen TV is, right? Reduce it down to its basic elements. What do you have? Grind it up into dust, flat screen dust. You have plastic, glass, some copper,
a couple of other elements, you probably have $4 to $8 worth of raw materials. Okay? The difference between that $8 in raw materials and the $800 that the TV retails for, that difference represented the American manufacturing economy. And that manufacturing economy employed tens of thousands of Americans to put televisions in every house in America. RCA, Zenith, Emerson, all kinds of brands. And that's just in television. Now, the television has changed. It's not this great big cathode ray tube box. It's now a flat screen, but we certainly could manufacture it here in the United States. We have plastic. We have glass, right? We have all the raw materials. We have steel. We have rubber. We have copper. And we have mines in the United States. And we have lumber yards in the United States. And we have steel mills in Birmingham, Alabama. We have everything to make all the stuff that we use. And we could be making it here in the United States. And it would help support the American manufacturing economy, because you cannot just have a growing, prosperous economy doing each other's laundry. Somebody has to take raw materials and make something out of it, where the raw materials represent $4 and the finished product represents $800. That's the magic. And right now, that magic is going on in China. And we're bringing in all this plastic crap from China duty-free while the Americans are out of work in the Midwest. It's not a recipe for success. The good news is I have the recipe for success. 877-377-4373. Lou Penrose sitting in for Jesse Kelly on The Jesse Kelly Show.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show, Lou Penrose, sitting in for Jesse Kelly, 877-377-4373, as we head into the big holiday weekend. Hey, if you're going to celebrate, check your sandwich meat.
India. Where are you from?
Let's see here. There it is.
This is the largest listeria outbreak since 2011. Boar's Head recalled 7.2 million pounds of deli meat, several kinds of ham, bologna, bacon, and sausage, after samples of unopened products tested positive for the bacteria that causes listeriosis.
Yeah, that's not good. That's a bad bacteria. You don't want that. And it was in sealed containers, sealed meat. What do you say there? Bologna? I think it's everything that I eat.
Of unopened products tested positive for the bacteria, several kinds of ham, bologna, bacon, and sausage, after samples.
Yeah. Ham, bologna, it's everything. Salami. Gabagool, they got the whole, they got my entire sandwich drawer. And the thing is, they say that if you've had it, if you have any Boar's Head, what we call cold cuts or deli meats, it's not enough to just toss it. You've got to like steam clean your entire refrigerator.
If you have Boar's Head deli meat in your fridge still, it's not enough to just throw away the product. Health officials say you need to clean your refrigerator as listeria can grow inside. Say you made a sandwich and then touched other things in the fridge. That's really important.
Right. Really important. And I can't imagine where that disease would be in my house after my boys made themselves a turkey and cheese. Like, I think they do touch other things and it would get all over the house. The number of cases now of contaminated meat from Boar's Head.
The outbreak started in late May, and at the end of July, over 7 million pounds of deli meat were recalled. What started as just a recall on liverwurst expanded to include more than 70 Boar's Head products, including ham, beef, and salami, all made at the company's plant in Virginia.
So now the Department of Agriculture has checked the Boar's Head plant in Virginia and they found other problems there. So yeah, it started out with just liverwurst. And it turns out that all the meats, like everything, that place was really problematic. And according to the recall, it's all for Boar's Head stuff sold up until July 31st.
And I'm thinking, you should be through that by now, right? I mean, I certainly have been through a number of half pounds of turkey since July 31st. But check the dates on the stuff and toss it if it's Boar's Head and it was purchased before the 31st of July. But are you ready for this? If you do make yourself a sandwich with some ham and cheese that was contaminated, they tell us that Listeria can hit you 10 weeks after. So you could eat the sandwich in July and get sick in September. That's amazing. That's absolutely incredible. 877-377-4373. Cook yourself a hamburger and stay away from the cold cuts just until this thing flushes out. Let us go to Larry in Pennsylvania. Larry, you're on the Jesse Kelly Show.
All right, Lou, and the Democratic Party has been rebuilt into a left-wing lunatic party because of the 65 Immigration Act, illegal immigration, refugee clown programs, and visa violators. I mean, just look at it. This candidate for the Democrats has let in 10 million illegals to murder Americans, rape American women, and she's neck and neck in the polls. Well, that's the reason why they rebuilt the party into a left-wing party. A lot of them are on welfare, food stamps, inflation doesn't mean nothing to them, and they want to bring in millions and millions of more people in here. And unfortunately, we've also sent our manufacturing base overseas. We sent it out to China. Now, here's the problem. 30 years from now, when China wants to fight us and we're really in a hellhole position, what are we going to do? It was our trade programs that rebuilt China, turned those serial killers into billion and trillionaires. Now you want our 18-year-old American boys to fight them? I think not, baby. Go, Buchanan, go. Go, Buchanan, go.
Larry, I appreciate the call. And I don't disagree with the idea of setting. We did. There's no question that American trade policy moved our factories and our manufacturing to Southeast Asia. No question about it. Why? I will never understand. But the good news is this is reversible. This is you can untangle this knot. This is not that hard. We will always use all the stuff we buy from China. Everything that's in your house used to be made in the United States and can still be made in the United States. Almost all of the raw materials exist under our feet here in the United States. The infrastructure to manufacture it, to bring it from the raw material places to the factory towns and then to the major cities is all laid. It's all there. The railways are all there and the roadways are all there. We still have trucks. It's all good. It's ready to go. It's calling us. The American manufacturing economy is calling us. All we need to do is answer the call. And it provides good jobs for Americans, right? You don't need a four-year degree to go work at a factory, but if you go to work for a factory, guess what? You start out on the line, and then you move up, and you become a supervisor, and then you become a shift leader, and then the foreman retires, and everybody moves up, and they all move up in their rate of pay. It's a working system, and not everybody in America wants to be a rocket scientist. Some Americans just want to go to work at a good job that pays a fair wage. Most of the problems we have in America today are not because people are unemployed. It's because they're underemployed. They're not inspired by their job. They go and they schlep at work. And because they don't feel like they're getting paid enough, and they're not, right? In real dollars, your grandfather took home a heartier paycheck. Your father took home a heartier paycheck than you are, even though the minimum wage is constantly rising wages are going up. Inflation is eating up all that wage growth. So you're actually behind. And you feel it. We all do. So that's why having an option like manufacturing is a good thing, because we'll always need it. It'll always be there. That the help wanted signs, hiring today, was the sign out front of every factory in America from 1948 to 1978. Hiring today. Anybody could get a job. And many people did and lived wonderful quality lives. We cannot have a prosperous, growing, expanding economy that would provide us with the quality of life in America that we deserve and we want simply doing each other's laundry and making each other's beds. So let's get busy. Let's bring the jobs back. Let's fire up the factories. Let's put Americans back to work. And let's make things here in America. There'll be higher quality. We'll be employing Americans. All the money circulates in our own country. We keep the plastic crap from China out of our country and out of the city dump and out of the landfills. It's good for Mother Earth. It's good for Americans. And it's the way to go. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Have yourselves a fantastic holiday weekend. Jesse Kelly will be back on Tuesday. Lou Penrose, sitting in for Jesse Kelly on The Jesse Kelly Show.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.